Hi, good afternoon and welcome. It's Tuesday. I think I've got that right. It's Tuesday. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show. Tiger baseball tonight at 6:45, so we go to 6:30 today. We've got an action-packed show at 6:10. George Blaha will join us, the voice of Spartan football and the Detroit Pistons. Special guest, I've been trying to get Paul Costanzo to come back in studio, live on the air for I don't know how long, and he's finally here today. So welcome aboard, Paul.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Brings Dennis. A tear to your eye, doesn't it?
It does.
To be back in the old digs.
It does. I was expecting you to say welcome to the Sports Attack. I was ready to hear that after the music, and it didn't come, but that's fine.
I still occasionally reference the Sports Attack on this show, and everybody says, what's that? We never heard that. Yeah, we were buried on Saturday morning.
We were.
Well, what can I say? Mark Brochu is with us as well. I bring Mark in. This is at least 3 years in a row we've done this.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Because Mark is a football official, and high school football, college football, and pro football don't exactly all play by the same rules. And a lot of times up in the stands, I see parents and fans get discouraged or irate about something, and they're wrong, okay? The officials are right, and you're wrong, because the rules aren't necessarily what you think they are. You're thinking about something that happens on a Sunday or something that happens on a Saturday, and it might not be the rule that they go by on a Friday night. So Mark is here to explain a lot of that stuff. And I always start out, Mark, by asking, have they made any significant changes for the upcoming season, something that would be new to us?
No, they're mainly enhancements this year. One of the main ones in the whole safety thing that they're working on, they introduced defenseless players and the penalties for that. This year they clarified that, ironically, a passer is not a defenseless player until they release the ball and then attempt to join the play. They're defenseless after they throw the ball. Okay. So they don't want to penalize. I'm extrapolating. They don't want to penalize the rushing tackler from trying to hit the guy passing the ball. So the risk for the passer is until I release that ball, I don't get special protection. So okay. That's a new one this year. That's a big one. It should help. I refereed from the referee position a lot of years, and that's a lot of the gray calls, that action around the quarterback, of how much you're going to protect them or not. This will make it a little easier, I think, for the officials to say, hey, if he's not released the ball, you're subject to getting clocked. So
yeah, and obviously you guys know the difference between what you would consider a good hit and a hit that's maybe high or something like that.
Right.
And you're still going to call the fouls when there's a foul.
Right. And if you no matter what the circumstance, if you lead with the crown of your helmet, you're going to get a penalty whether he's passed the ball or not.
Some of the rule changes that they've done, the kickoff rule, in your mind, has that helped? With injuries? Because I know that's the reason that they do all these rules, is to protect kids. Has it really, in your mind, helped?
I don't recall a lot of injuries from kickoffs, but that seems to be a common drumbeat. So obviously on the national level, the rules makers have enough data to suggest that it is. And they are reinforcing that this year on the free kick that goes out of bounds. They're adding another penalty option to the receivers with the hopes of deterring teams from forcing the team to take 5 yards and re-kick. So they're given another option for the offended receiving team to take the ball at, typically the 35-yard line or where it goes out of bounds or 5 yards in advance of where the ball goes out of bounds. So the rules makers are definitely wanting to cut down on the number of re-kicks or eliminate them.
I think they should just take the re-kick out as an option in high school.
I found, especially toward the end of my time at the Times Herald covering high school football games, fewer and fewer teams were kicking off deep at all, unless they had a kicker who could send it through the end zone, just because like it's hard to defend a kick return, I think, now for a lot of teams. Yeah. And some of that is the personnel that you have on the field. But, yeah, so those good teams, Marine City, they always wanted you to kick it again because they were probably going to run it back for a touchdown. Right. I agree. I think
Most teams just pooch the ball, and they don't really worry too much about field position anymore.
Yeah,
they just we'll give you the ball between the 30 and the 40 yard line a lot of times, and we'll just play defense. And
yeah, they just want to punch it into one corner or the other and mass their guys on that side of the field and try to keep them from running it back.
All right, what are some of the other differences that we see in a high school football
mainly game? It's mainly the passing game is the big difference, and one of the big ones is the ball, there was interference, and the scream from the stands is it's uncatchable. Well, in pro, if it's uncatchable, it's not a pass interference. Well, in high school, uncatchable, it has nothing to do with it, and the official, if they see it, they've got to call it no matter what. So that's the one you hear the most. The other is he's outside, the intentional grounding, or he's outside the tackle box. There is no tackle box. There is no, he's got to throw the ball beyond the line, to or beyond the line of scrimmage. In high school, he's got to legitimately get it within the vicinity of a legal receiver. So those options that quarterbacks have to get rid of the ball at the college and pro level are not available to the high school quarterback. He's got to legitimately try to get it in the vicinity. Now, if he buries the ball in the vicinity and it's crystal clear and he wasn't trying to get it to the receiver, you're supposed to call that as intentional grounding. But
what about I want to stop the clock. We're rushing up to the line, and I just want to stop the clock, and I spike the ball. That's okay to do in high school football, correct?
Correct, as long as the quarterback is in the correct position to receive the ball from the center and then immediately throws it to the ground.
Because I did see a game a few years ago where there's some confusion on that. And in the end, I think they made the right call, but for a few seconds there, they were calling it a fumble or calling it intentional grounding, and it would have cost the team a shot. They ended up losing anyways, but at least they got their play instead of losing right on the spot, because the loss of down would have ended the game right there.
Oftentimes, the kids are too scattered, and there's not a good snap from the snapper back to the quarterback, so you got to make sure the quarterback gets that and passes it down. So,
all right, most games officiated by five officials. Is that kind of just normal procedure? Would you do a game with less? And if you had the opportunity to use more, would you use more?
All the above. That quote unquote normal varsity football game in this area is still going to be officiated with five officials. A lot of the metropolitan areas, they're going to seven officials, which they use seven officials for semifinals and final games for the high school tournament. So a lot of the areas, especially the bigger schools, are all going with, which is hard to fathom, because at the same time we've got an official shortage that's getting worse, and if you're adding two officials to every Class A game in your area, something's got to give. So, you can go five. I've seen crews go six, which makes a lot of sense to me. That extra official puts a wing guy deep on each sideline that allows the big officiating dilemma for the head linesman and the line judge is when the quarterback rolls to your side. You've got to cover the pass, and you've got to cover the line of scrimmage and the quarterback. So you're just guessing and hope you make the right guess. Oftentimes, high school, you'll stay the line of scrimmage and hope that he doesn't make the pass down the field. With that extra official on the sideline, that eliminates that. You've got a guy looking for the pass receiver deep, and then the wing official can stay home and do things the right way, and not it's like in basketball when they went from two officials to three officials. In basketball, the official always had to stay back to be able to cover the fast break. The wing officials are the equivalent of the third official in basketball, lets you cover that deep pass and cover the line of scrimmage.
I always love it, too, like in basketball, because I refereed a little bit when I was younger. You're under the basket. That's what you're looking at. And when something happens out top and they start yelling at me, well, I wasn't looking out. Yeah. My area was in the paint. If I miss something there, you can yell at me. But don't yell at me about something that's going on top. I imagine you get the same thing in football, especially from the coaches. You're that poor guy on the sideline, and you're hearing about the call that maybe the back judge missed or something like that.
Right. And that's called, you know, the procedure of what you do and why and it's called mechanics, and there are zones, especially right at the snap, where everybody's looking at something different to make sure all the players are covered. And then, obviously, at the point that there's a run or a successful pass, and everybody's kind of more officials are looking at the ball. But there should always be officials looking at the backside of the play so you don't get the nonsense stuff away from the play that I think the last couple of years, the rules about cheap shots and, you know, defenseless player have really helped, because at some schools had a culture of lighting, you know, the term was light them up, and that's take out a guy that's not out of the play and not looking. And I think it's been great for the game to crack down on that and say that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because I think there were a minority of coaches that, and that still encourage that.
A couple of things about the clock. First off, how quickly are we supposed to be having, or how much time should be taking place between plays?
Well, the rule says 25 seconds, but the mechanic, they're telling referees, and that it was inconsistent for who was told that or not, was to delay 12 to 15 seconds before you give the ready for play. By the old mechanic was when the ball was set down, the box was in position, the ball was ready to play, and then you blow the whistle and you got 25 seconds. Now, and then they went to this, well, hold off for 12 to 15 seconds. Well, then you got to depend on the referee, the guy in the white hat, to be consistent in that, and then blow the whistle, and then you got 20. So in effect, you got like a 40-second clock. Why they didn't just change? Now they're giving school is the option of going with the 40-second clock, in which case, when the play's over, ball's ready for play, blow the whistle, 40 seconds.
Okay.
That's an option this year. They're encouraging schools to, by pre-agreement with the opponent, to start doing that with the expectation that that will be the rule next year.
And then the other one that I always like to hit with you, because this is not the NFL or college, there are no two-point defensive conversions in high school football, but the overtime rule is one that I like to remind people. The defense picks up a fumble or intercepts the ball, they can't run it back and win the game. The play is over at the point of the change of possession, correct?
Correct. The only way theoretically, the defense can score is for some reason the offense retreats 100 yards to their own end zone and gets tackled. Then that would be theoretically a defensive score, but it's, like you said, when the defense gains possession of the ball, the play's over.
All right, perfect. Anything else you want to add, Mark?
No, hopefully it'll be a good season. Hopefully people are understanding we're people with full-time jobs, and we try to get it right. At the minimum, I've only saw in 40-plus years of officiating once or twice in my career where I thought a fellow official purposely did something. The good news is there's a genuine creed of get it right, do your best to get it right. Sometimes we don't see things the way other people see, and sometimes we don't get it right, but it's not by any pre-determination of having an effect on the game.
Yeah, sometimes there are honest mistakes. We've got human beings doing everything.
Well, and I find that as officials get older, they're more willing to talk about blowing the call. Younger officials, it's pretty intimidating, especially in a room of officials, to say, well, I blew this. The people who have been around are more off to say, yeah, I screwed this one up, or I think I screwed this up, tell me if I got it right. And that's healthier, because that's, you know, you're learning from your mistakes.
Perfect. Mark, have a good season, and thanks for coming in and doing this.
Well, can I hit you up for a little spot here?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
The Michigan High School Athletic Association number one priority is recruiting officials. There is the number of officials that are available are going down, and the age of active officials is going up. So any individual that really thinks they might want to give it a try, please contact MHSAA or us. They've got a lot of programs to recruit people. Actually, this year, the first year of registration, they're going to give it to you for free. And so if you think you want it, it's the reason people officiate, it's they want to be around the game. And I think probably as an announcer and a reporter, it's fun to be around the game and be part of the game. And so if you like that environment and like seeing it down and dirty and enjoying it with a group of friends, officiating might be for you. And we ask you to either contact the Eastern Michigan Officials Association here locally or the Michigan High School Athletic Association because we want to talk to you. And it can start really slow on the lower levels. Unfortunately, sometimes the parents on the lower levels are less understanding. But it's a fun avocation, and we need more people to take up the officiating bug.
All right, good stuff. Mark Brochu stopping by today. The football season starts Thursday night. We'll come back in just a minute. We'll have more of Paul Costanzo, and then later in the show, we'll talk with George Blaha. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM.